This is Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence, and right now I have the chance to talk to Dave Bruza of Green Sky Bluegrass. They are coming back yet again for two shows at the State Theater of Kalamazoo. Music starts at 8:30 Friday and Saturday, and all details and tickets are available at kazoostate.com. Dave, thank you for getting on the line with me here on WMUK.
Hi, Kara. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are returning to Kalamazoo, as I mentioned. This is something the band has put priority on ever since day one, returning to its hometown. And now it's been 20 years. Are you getting a lot of questions about how did you do it? How did you manage to go for 20 years?
Yeah, every now and then. I mean, it's just something we always did. And, you know, being from Kalamazoo, it was just something we ended up doing during the holidays. And, you know, we didn't really start touring any or leaving Kalamazoo until about, I don't know, 2005 or six. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for so long, we just never stopped. And that seems to work when your band doesn't break up.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing. Do you live elsewhere now? Is the band located on the West Coast?
No, the band is from Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's never changed. And, you know, a few of us have moved away in the past, you know, 10 years and so, but Kalamazoo is still very much home for the band.
What does the touring schedule look like? In normal times, let's say. We're getting back to normal times.
I was going to say we just had a little bit of a break for a bit, but, you know, the band would typically, we tour, you know, winter and fall. We've had the opportunity to play all over the world, and it's very, very gratifying and something we don't take for granted, but yeah.
And the rest of the year, I mean, I know that a new album called Stress Dreams is coming out in the new year. So you've probably been working on that as well.
Yeah, I think during the pandemic gave us all a lot of time to just kind of regroup and write some songs. And we were able to get together a few times throughout last year. We met up in a beautiful studio in Vermont and got to work on that. And we also worked in a studio in Asheville, North Carolina that we've worked at a few times. And we made this incredible album. I'm very proud of it. And I can't wait for the world to hear it. It's it's one of our best yet, I think, still. And it was an exciting process because we had all the time in the world, so to speak. So we definitely took a little more time and were a little more relaxed and getting things done because we didn't have to, you know, stop a session, go on the road for, you know, 10, 15 days and go back. We were able to really digest the material and really serve the songs the best that they possibly could be.
I love the song Stress Dreams. I'm very lucky to have a little bit of an early access here. It won't be released commercially until January. That song is an epic, which I certainly appreciate as I work at a classical radio station and I play symphonies a lot of the time. So,
That song is, thank you. I think that was definitely a band favorite.
I've been waking up tired. I've been working for hours and I'm missing the mark before my day even starts. When my boy cries to me in the dark, try to stretch it out slowly, but to start the day knowing that it ends in my bed, soaked in sweat, all these wheels still turning in my head.
Was excited because our bass player Michael Duvall actually wrote and composed most of that, and you know, he hasn't written any songs for any of our albums before, so that was really exciting to have kind of a fresh take and a, you know, fresh voice in the writing department of our band. And I think Mike's such an incredible musician. You know, he grew up in the classical world. And,
he was ready to write an epic.
I was really just pleased and just thrilled because, you know, he's never really attempted to do that. And I think he just knocked it out of the park. And it was just so exciting to bring his vision to life. And it was just really fun. And it's really, it is quite epic.
Imagine in a live performance, you take everybody on a journey with a song like this, and
yeah,
literally recreate a dream is how it sounds to me.
Yeah, I think it really hit on a lot of topics that were happening last year lyrically, but yeah, it is definitely kind of a dreamscape of a song.
Yeah,
we have performed it live. I don't know, a couple of times we performed it at, you know, we play at Red Rocks Amphitheater outside of Denver every year. We did three nights in September, and it was fun to play it up there in front of, you know, 10,000 people.
I mean, that must have been a dream come true the first time you played Red Rocks, and to have a standing date. Wow, that's an achievement and something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's pretty nice when I get a chance to look back on what we've done, you know, as we're talking about Kalamazoo. And, you know, we used to play at Bell's Brewery every Thursday in the wintertime. That's kind of how we really decided maybe other people might enjoy this other than people in Kalamazoo. But it's, you know, we don't forget where we came from. And it's just a, you know, it's very, like, again, grateful. It's the word that comes to mind, and it can be very humbling. And it's just, it's very special that for me, because I'm the only one in the band who's a Kalamazoo native, it's really, you know, I have a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, we're from Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's really, it's unique. And, you know, for years, people would always wear like Western Michigan shirts or Bell shirts to our shows. And, you know, and the funny part was when we started to get a little more notoriety, when we'd play in like Detroit or anywhere else in Michigan, you know, our merch guy would always tell me that apparently you went to high school with the entire show, because everyone keeps telling him that. And I'm like, it's pretty funny.
Well, it must have given you a little bit of unease, like it did me and a lot of the community, to hear that Bell's will no longer be owned by Larry, and understandably, he is retiring and enjoying the fruits of his success by selling to another company, a large corporation.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, that's just how things work sometimes. And I'm very happy for Larry to be able to get some time. You know, I actually, we exchanged a few texts that day, and it was just, you know, I just thanked him because I didn't realize what a big part of my life that brewery was, not just as a musician. You know, they helped us get our start, but also just as a person, like the culture. I was, you know, I did go there a lot. So, you know, I'm happy for him. And I lived in Fort Collins, Colorado for a while too, so I actually know some of the people over at New Belgium, which are part of the people that were acquiring them. And I think if there's anybody that's going to be taking over and helping out, I think that's a great fit, because they're such, they're very, culture is very important to them as well. And they're very fun. And I'm not too worried about, I don't think things are going to change too much. It's definitely different, but you know, it's just, I suppose, how life works.
Yeah, I know. You don't want things to change, but they always do.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite pint if you head to the Eccentric Cafe?
Well, Two Hearted was always the a big favorite of mine. I think that was my favorite beer of all time. I'm actually I'm sober. I don't drink anymore, so that would be one though.
Okay. So you've had all the beer in your life, and but that was the highlight. Hey?
I've had a few. Well, the funny thing was that when I think back on it, and I'm sorry to anyone who might find this offensive, the first beer I ever drank at a bar was in 1995, and it was at Bell's. I was 15 years old.
Well, if I may ask, let's get back to the new album, which is called Stress Dreams, coming out in January 22 is the plan. I wondered if you contributed any of your own songs to this.
Yes, I do have a song on there that I'm pretty excited about.
What's it called?
It's called Streetlight.
Streetlight. When you write songs, what comes first? Poetry or melody or feel?
It could be in any one of those categories. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes Streetlight in particular for me was, I was trying to break this cycle of writing about the same thing and just having the same kind of content, blah, blah, blah. And I never intended it to be something I was going to bring to Green Sky. It was more just something I wanted to do to kind of just, you know, I had some writer's block, but just I wanted to change it up, and it was just kind of a joke. I was walking around my neighborhood in Colorado and Denver with a friend, and I was making a joke about I could write a song about this streetlight, and I just started messing with it. And then I ended up finishing it up with my friend Aaron Allen, who we've been writing together for a few years. He lives in northern Michigan, and so I called him up, and I ended up just putting the pen to paper, so to speak, and just finished it. And then I went to St. Louis last summer to spend some time with some friends because, you know, nothing was going on and I was living alone, and they're like, just drive over here and we can do some video streams. And so I performed it live on, I did these four streams called Take Cover, which you can still find on YouTube from 201 Productions. And the guys heard it. And when we finally got back together, I was kind of surprised because it's a little slower and, you know, it can be a little melancholy and everything. But I was surprised to hear that they wanted to take a shot at us recording it. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I like how, you know, a slower tune stands out amongst, you know, the more high-powered or up-tempo kind of songs. It's sitting there right in the middle perfectly. I'm sure our listeners want to know if you're going to be featuring some of the new material in the two nights you're at the State Theater.
Well, it's hard to say with us. you know, we never did the same show twice. In fact, we played in Bend, Oregon last night. It's a sold-out crowd, and it's, you know, it's Wednesday, which has always been a very particular favorite of ours and our fans. So we ended up playing, an hour worth of, we played some rock and roll where I played drums, and our friend Holly Bowling, who's on tour with us currently, has been playing every night with us, but we kind of changed it up and played rock and roll. But yeah, it can be predictably unpredictable most of the time. But we have a few of the songs in rotation. We've played a few times. Like, we have played Stress Dreams a couple times, Absence of a Reason. We've played Monument and Grow Together. I would imagine that we'd want to play something new. But, again, who knows what we're going to do. I don't even know what we're going to do tonight in Portland.
No promises on the set list, but it's not intentionally being keep a secret here. It's just you don't know.
No, yeah. No, we kind of go on a feeling and in a moment. And we've had some very special shows at the State Theater over the years, and it was so sad not to be able to be there last year. And I think we're all just really excited to get back and play for the hometown crowd again.
The openness to doing what feels right in the moment when you're on stage in front of a huge crowd speaks to me of how you must be very comfortable with each other and allowing each other to spread your wings in a variety of ways in real time, where it's not a planned out show. That I think that's one of those keys to longevity for Green Sky Bluegrass.
Yeah, we like to improvise. I mean, we all kind of came from different backgrounds musically, but you know, the Grateful Dead was always a thing for us. And some of the guys like the Fish from Vermont a lot, and we just, you know, it's nice not to have a playbook or really rules. There's fundamentals and everything that you can lean on, but it's exciting and fun because you can create something spur of the moment. And you know, of course, we lean on our songs, and then we also take time to experiment and just get fear out of the way and just try something. And you know, it doesn't always stick, but like it's just, you know, I mean, it's just that's the moment that's happening right there, and that's all that really matters. And that's the fun of it, and I love that our fans always really like to go on that ride with us, and whether it be great or terrible, it happened, and you know, that's just what it is. It's about community and having fun, and you know, why not? There's times for well-executed music in the classical world. Well, that's the classical world is executed music to a degree where, you know, you rehearse and you rehearse and you play that same part, and that's the way the song is. But it's nice to take some freedom when you have the opportunity.
Are you still able to surprise each other in these moments?
Yes. Yes, we are. It's that's a very exciting part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think also during the pandemic, everyone kind of had time to just work on their own skill, because we didn't see each other for months on end because we live all over the country now. And I think getting back together was it was amazing because everyone had something new to add and to play. And it was just, you know, needed, I think, a little bit of a break.
It can help. And yet you all probably have an understanding where it doesn't take more than a couple minutes to just to get back in the saddle with each other again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a little, I was surprised that, you know, we took some time to do some rehearsals, and just get reacquainted with some of the material. Cause you know, like I was writing a lot of stuff. Everyone was writing, everyone was exploring what they were feeling and musically, and you know, so we didn't play a lot of these songs, and it was the longest time apart we had from one another for a long time. So it was a little bumpy reentry on like, oh yeah, there's that song and that song, and we just kind of laid out the albums and like went down all of our original material, which we forget how much stuff there actually is. Sometimes it's funny when we're on the road and you can't think of something to play for a second, and then someone mentions a song and we haven't played it in years. But yeah, but I think ultimately we're a pretty good hive mind.
I'm speaking with Dave Bruza of Green Sky Bluegrass, which will appear in two shows on Thanksgiving weekend at the Kalamazoo State Theater. KazooState.com is where you'll find details and tickets and a COVID policy to brush up on before you head out to the shows. Finally, Dave, you've been in a band for 20 years. What's the longest relationship you've ever had with a guitar?
Well, I started playing guitar when Green Sky started. I was a drummer before that. It was just, so that's the longest relationship, I guess, with my guitar.
perhaps I would like to rephrase it. What's the longest you've had a particular guitar?
Oh, longest I've had a particular guitar. I don't know. I guess I have a Collings G2H that I bought in 2003.
Going on 20 years there.
Yeah, but I own guitars that are much older than me. I actually sold a few recently, I look at it as an investment, and also I like to collect guitars. They come and go, but I do have a few old Gibson guitars that were made in Kalamazoo. I have some from the 50s and 60s and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Guitar acquisition syndrome.
Yeah, it's kind of a good and bad thing.
I don't know why I pictured you using just one guitar. That's silly. Anyway, Dave, thank you for spending some time with me here on Classical WMUK 89.9 FM, and all the best with your return and the shows at the State Theater. It sounds like you're not worried one bit. It'll be a wonderful time.
It will be, and thanks for having me, Kara.